Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. It has just been a blessed day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we have to rejoice and be glad in it. I thank God for all that He's done today, what He's done in the past, what He's doing going forward in our lives today, and we are to just call it what it is, a rejoiceful time in the Lord. Thank you for being with me in the program today concerning our lesson through the book of Hebrews, and it's our mini-series that we are looking at concerning the Hebrew book, and the title of our lesson is Hebrews 101. And we just want to get back to the basics, and it has been a blessing to have my co-host with us on this program, Pastor Michael Crowe, and I will continue to look at this book of Hebrews. And focusing on this particular series on the preeminence of His priesthood. And our focus point is chapters 4:14 through chapter 7 through 20, verse 28. When we make Christ Lord of our life, He is the high priest that governs our life through the Holy Spirit. With that, we have the freedom to come to the throne of grace with reverence and humbleness, making our prayers known to Him. Christ is the high priest that shows His children how to exemplify Him through our living, loving, and treating others. He's forgiven our sins by the redemptive call of the Father on the cross, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life in heaven. So make a change in your life and allow the high priest, who is better, to reign in your heart and Lord over your life. So with that being said, I'm going to allow Pastor Crowe to continue in our lesson, Hebrews 101, concerning the preeminence of His priesthood. Pastor Crowe, thank you for being with us again.
Thank you so much for the God in you, allowing the God in us another opportunity to rest in His Word and allow the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. And we pray tonight that our listening audience will let the Holy Spirit be the lesson, let the Holy Spirit be the learner, the teacher, and let the Holy Spirit do it all. And we pray that after the Holy Spirit has spoke to your heart, if you don't know Jesus and the pardoning of your sin, you come to know who He is. Thank you, Sister Smith. And once again, I thank God for you allowing Him to use you, and your consistency in His Word is truly a blessing. On behalf of the Barbara Moore Missionary Baptist Church family, we want to say thank you. Are we ready, Sister Smith?
I believe we are.
Well, I tell you what, Les, you called it a few minutes ago. How about if we go to Hebrews chapter 4, and we do go to that 14th verse. That 14th verse. And we we've already studied in previous lessons about the preeminence of Christ. We studied that the preeminence of his message, no other message can deal with it. The preeminence of his glory, no other prophet, priest, or king can outshine his glory. And the preeminence of his glory. But tonight we're looking at the preeminence of his priesthood. Now that's interesting. And once again, we always, I want your audience to always remember that when we study Hebrew, it's very important that you read the background and read the theme and read the audience, who this writer is talking about, who this writer is talking to, this audience. You got to understand that he's speaking to Hebrew Christians. Hebrew Jews that at some point in time heard the word, received the word, and believed the word. They believed it in their heart. They confessed it with their mouth. The Bible says when you believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth, you can be saved. These Hebrew Jews were a unique group of people, because in the midst of all what they were surrounded with, the Judaism and where they came from and the different people, they found themselves looked at as peculiar people. And the Bible teaches us that we are peculiar people. But the author is stressing to them, because of the disappointment, because of the abuse, because of the mockery, because they were being treated so bad by the people in their environment, the writer detects that they want to turn around and go back to Judaism. And that's a point that we want to keep in mind as we go through Hebrew. A golden nugget is that God wants to show us through the lives of these Hebrew Christians that even though the journey might start out joyful, on this Christian walk, sometimes we have to go through some valleys. Sometimes we have to go through some storms. We will be talked about. We will be judged. But the author is trying his best to motivate these Hebrew Jews. Whatever happens to you on this journey, don't turn around. And I just want to send that nugget out there, because I believe there's somebody in radio land that started out this Christian journey, but as we speak right here on the radio now, there's some things going on in their life. There's some things that has happened to them. There's some things that they're going through. And sometimes if we're not prayerful, we'll find ourselves in the same situation of these Hebrew Christians. We'll want to turn around and go back. Go back to our old way. Go back to Judaism. And author used oftentimes in this book their ancestors, about how God brought them out through Moses from Egypt, brought them across their Red Sea, brought them through the wilderness, fed them manna from heaven, led them through Moses all the way to the Canaan land. And because of their unbelief, they didn't make it in. My prayer today, as we venture off into the priest, to the preeminence of his priesthood, whatever you do, don't turn around. God has brought you. I ought to be a witness out there. He brought you through many a situation. And here we are today faced with situation. And instead of remembering how he brought us through our last situation, we're going to let the present situation make us turn around. The author reminds them that Jesus is better than anything you ever had and anything you ever. He reminds us in chapter 1 that he's better than the angels. He's the Son. They are but servants. In that 5th and that 9th verse in chapter 1 and 2, he is the Creator. They are the creatures. He is sovereign. They are subject. There's none better. There's none better. We found out that he's better than Moses in the 3rd chapter. Moses was merely a human agent of the old economy. Christ is the foundation of the new. Moses was a faithful servant of God's house. Christ is the faithful Son over his house. Moses was a witness to something better to come. Jesus is the fulfillment of that to come. We even found out in chapter 4 that he's better than Joshua. Joshua was captain of Israel. He brought them to the Canaan conquest. Joshua led the people into the earthly Canaan, but did not lead them into true rest. You look at verse 8, 3, and 9, Jesus brings us into the true rest of ceasing from work and enjoying a spiritual Sabbath, keeping with God. And here's where we'll start out tonight. He's better than Aaron, Israel's representative of the high priest. Jesus' ministry is better because it's a better sanctuary. Because his sanctuary is in heaven. Aaron's sanctuary was on earth. Jesus maintained a better priesthood than Melchizedek, and we'll talk about him a little later on. Oh, Aaron, because he was better qualified. Jesus has a better offering because he offered himself. But I got a few points that I just want to bring out to you. And if you're taking notes, these were a blessing to me. And I hope they'd be a blessing to you. Now, Sister Smith, you mind reading that 14th all the way down to that 16th verse? Read that 14th all the way to the 16th verse.
Okay. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
So what makes Jesus' priesthood so preeminent? Well, let me just give you a few things, and we'll take it a little farther even on next week. The priesthood of Christ is different from the priesthood of Aaron, because we're dealing with, in Jesus' priesthood, human as well as divine. Jesus' priesthood was human as well as divine. Now, we know that the priesthood of Aaron was a human priesthood, imperfect. The priests themselves had issues. But the priesthood of Christ is both human and divine. Now, that gives us the doctrine of his divinity and his humanity. He was all God, and he was all man. Jesus had a human side, and he had a divine side. His human side got hungry. His human side got sleepy. His human side got tired. His human side got thirsty. Oh, but on his divine side, he opened up blind eyes. On his divine side, he unstopped deaf ears. On his divine side, he made the cripple throw away their crutches. On his blind rise, he healed the sick and raised the dead. I recall in the Garden of Gethsemane, and if you go up and you read that verse, as he was faced with the bitter cup. Oh, you got to hear the Lord preach that sermon about how when he looked in the cup, he looked at it from a human perspective on his mother's side. And he also looked at it from a divine perspective on his father's side. And on his mother's side, when he looked in that cup, he say, oh, no, no, no. He say, let this cup pass. But on his father's side, on his divine side, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. So the first thing about the preeminence of his priesthood that makes his priesthood different from the human priest is that he was human as well as divine. Let me give you a scripture for that. If you'll get Hebrews 2:17, Sister Smith, I think I can back that up with 2:17. If you would read that for our audience, and because somebody might not believe me, but he was human as well as divine. 2:17.
All right. Chapter 2, verse 17. Hence, he should have been made like his brothers, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people.
Man, he is our propitiator. He what? He reconciled us back to God. He is a merciful high priest. Read 3:1. Get 3:1. Let me just throw that in just for the study portion of it. Hebrews 3:1.
Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ.
Man, now, once again, what makes Christ's priesthood different from the Aaron priesthood is that his priesthood was human as well as divine. Number two, let's take a look. Number two, his priesthood was sympathetic. His priesthood was sympathetic. Now, we read that 4:14 where we say, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. And that 15th verse, I love where that 15th verse put it. Say, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. On his human side, he was tempted. He came down, and the old preacher say, wisdom walking on 2 feet. He left heaven. The old preacher say he gave his glory to the moon. He gave his glitter to the stars. He gave his brightness to the sun. And he condescended through 42 generations, born in Bethlehem. And he was tempted just like you and I were tempted. But the Bible says he never sinned. And one of the things that the priests, the Aaron priest that deal with that, they had to look, even though they had to pray for the people, they had problems of their own. They had sin of their own. They weren't sympathetic at certain times. As a matter of fact, they were self-righteous at certain times. They were cold-blooded at certain times. But Jesus' priesthood was sympathetic. And it was sympathetic because he felt in his human form the same thing we felt. The only difference is he never sinned. And the human priests were imperfect. They fell short, just like each of us fall short. Well, you can't lift nobody above Christ. Some churches, the preacher is more popular than Christ. Nobody is more popular than Christ. Because he's the only one that never sinned. All of us have sinned and come short of his glory. All of us can be selfish sometimes. All of us can be radical at times. All of us can be hateful at times. But Jesus' priesthood was sympathetic. And it was sympathetic because he walked as a human. He was tempted by darkness, but he never sinned. So now that's number two. That's number two. Let's go down one more. His priesthood, number three, was divinely appointed. Come on, Sister Smith, read Hebrews 5:5 for me, and let's see how Jesus was appointed. And each priest had to be what? Appointed. Read 5:5.
All right. Hebrews 5:5. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you.
And if you keep reading Hebrew, you read where the Father tells the angels and tell everybody, you're going to worship my son. I'm appointing him. Thou art my son. Not the prophet, not the angels, not the priest, but Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a blessing to be divinely appointed. Now, when we look at the priesthood of Aaron, we know that Aaron's family represented the Levite priesthood, and all through that history, all down the way, you had to come out of the priest, you had to come out of the lineage of Aaron. Well, that was earthly. Jesus is divinely. And he was divinely appointed by God. Now, I got some friends that don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but I do. The Father, God the Father, the one that sits high and looks low. Sit God the Son. I'm talking about born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And when he finished his work, left the Holy God, the Holy Spirit, to indwell in us. So he was divinely appointed. And nobody else can make that claim. I tell you, his priesthood is preeminent. Call up any priest you want to call up. They wasn't divinely appointed by the Father. Now, they might be earthly appointed through the work of the Holy Spirit, but Jesus' priesthood was divinely appointed. And let me just put a little pin right here. Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. We talked about before, in order to have a worship, first of all, you got to have an altar. Jesus is the altar. In order to have a worship, you got to have a sacrifice. Jesus is the sacrifice. In order to have a worship, you got to have a priest. Jesus is the priest. He's prophet, priest, and king. Now you got to understand what those three mean. A prophet tells the people what God has to say. Now, if I was talking to men, I'd tell them that's what's wrong with our country today. That's what's wrong with our men. That's what's wrong with our family today. Men don't take their proper position as prophet, priest, and king of their family. Prophet tells his family what God has to say. The priest lifts his family up in prayer. King is the final authority of the family. And we've lost our way in this 21st century. We don't hold the position that we ought to hold as men. I'm not going to go too far with that, but every man ought to be the prophet, priest, and king of his family. Now, Jesus was the prophet, priest, and king of all of us. And he was a sacrifice. His sacrifice ended all other sacrifices. Lord have mercy. I tell them all the time, Sister Smith over at Barbara Mora, I'm so glad that God worked a better way to worship him, because if we had to go with the old way, with the sacrifices, every Sunday I'd have to be bringing some kind of goat, some kind of lamb, some kind of pigeon. Lord have mercy. You couldn't wear no, ain't no sense you dressing up no suits. You might as well get you some overalls, some rubber boots. If we had to come to God with sacrifices, guess what? We'd have a mess on our hands. But Jesus, God had a better way. And Jesus became our sacrifice. And when he died, there's no need for any other sacrifice, because you can't get a better sacrifice than Jesus. Before Jesus became our sacrifice, you had the holy place where the people worship. I wish I had some Sunday school goers here. Then you had the most holy place where only the priest could go, behind the curtain. But when Jesus died, his priesthood, the Bible says the sheet was rent in twain. I don't need the priest to go for me no more. He said, I can come what? Boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because my sacrifice paved the way for me. Not only is his sacrifice, his priesthood, human as well as divine, not only is Jesus' priesthood sympathetic, not only is Jesus' priesthood divinely appointed, but Jesus' priesthood is eternal. Wait a minute, Sister Smith, somebody don't believe me. I just wish you'd read Hebrews 6 and 20, because Jesus' priesthood is what? Eternal. Aaron's priesthood was what? Earthly. There's none that compare. Can you read 6 and 20 for me?
Hebrews 6, verse 20. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.
Now, we really have to go back and study that about Melchizedek. I think I'll wait till we get to the 7th chapter, because it really talks about it. But Melchizedek is a type of Christ. Melchizedek is known as the king of Salem. He's known as God's priest. When you study him, if you go back to Genesis, you see where Aaron brought his tithes to Melchizedek. But one of the unique things about Melchizedek that compared to Jesus is that he had no earthly mother, nobody knew about his earthly mother, and nobody knew about his earthly father. Jesus is a type of Melchizedek. We'll talk a little bit more about Melchizedek, but I want to just stick with where I'm at, because there's none that can compare Jesus. And look here, nothing wrong with being the priest of God. Nothing wrong with being the king of Salem. But I tell you what, Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There's none that can compare. What you think about that, Smith? Before I take another point, I just wanna hear what you have to say, because I got a couple more points, but there's none that can compare. Right now, we can come what? Boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because we have a propitiator. We have a sacrifice. We have Jesus who, through his birth, death, and resurrection, brought justification through his blood. Brought sanctification through his, brought imputation, the Holy Spirit imputed in us. There's none that can compare. Do you know anybody that can compare to him, Sister Smith? I want to give you opportunity. If you do know somebody that can compare to him, I wish you shared with us.
Well, I do. I mean, I definitely concur with you that there is none that can compare. And the Bible has vividly indicated to us in Scripture, just as you are walking us through these verses, through Moses and Aaron, and then Melchizedek as a type of Christ, and showing us how these are earthly when we know that Christ is the best, that none of them can compare to who we have in Jesus Christ. And as I said in the intro, when we make him Lord of our life, head of our life, we have the best. We shouldn't want any other person, thing, to take the place of the throne of Christ on our heart. When we do that, we've moved Christ off the throne and we've erected a small god, lowercase g-o-d. So we always want to keep the high priest as the head of our life. He is the best of the best.
Yeah.
And I just like knowing that
and Scripture confirms that. And we should not want to go back or waver in our faith, because we can come to the throne of grace and not have to pass through a human priest, but go straight to the high priest.
I want you to read Hebrew 9 and 24 to back up what you're saying. Hebrew 9 and 24. Can you read that for us, Sister Smith?
All righty. Hebrews 9, verse 24.
Uh-huh.
And it reads this way. 9:24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us.
Lord, our intercessor. See, that brings up the word intercessor. See the earthly priest, oh, man, you got to hear the elder preacher preach about the earthly priest. They say that when they went behind the most holy place, that the earthly priests were so afraid that they had to tie a rope around their waist because they didn't know whether they were going to come back out or not. That's just how sacred, that's just how mysterious it was for the earthly priest behind the earthly tabernacle. But the scripture said, but Jesus did not enter into an earthly holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself. And oh man, you know, if I was preaching, Sister Smith, you know, I'd say he got up and he ascended back to heaven and sit out on the right hand of the Father, and he make it intercessions for us, because we all come short. Thank God for the intercessor. Thank God for a high priest that's heavenly. Because the earthly high priest, even though he wanted to make an intercession for us, he had his own problem. But we got a high priest that's human as well as divine. We have a high priest that's sympathetic. We have a high priest that's divinely appointed. We have a high priest that's eternal. Can I give you eternal scripture for? Go to John 1 and 1. John 1 and 1 say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, eternal. I'm talking about before there was a who or what or when or where, before there was a north, south, east, or west, before there was a who done it or why they done it, before there was anything, the high priest was with the Father in eternity. The high priest was with the Father in time, because he said, let us make man. What a high priest. And look here, he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And because of our flesh, because of our imperfection, when we do fall, and we do fall sometimes, when we do come short, and we do come short sometimes, when we miss the mark, and we do miss the mark sometimes, isn't it a blessing to know that we have a high priest that's sitting next to the Father? And when we do wrong or when we come short, the old preacher say he leans over to the Father and say, but I died for him. And because of his blood, we have mercy. Aaron and his descendants couldn't do that. Well, time is moving fast. I just have two more, and we'll pick back up on it. Jesus' high priesthood is sinless. Sinless. Every great prophet, and you name them, every great priest, some point in their life, through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, and today, somewhere along the line, they fail. Come on, Adam, the father of faith, he failed. Come on, Isaac failed. Come on, Daniel, the praying man, he praying man, but he fell short. Come on, David, the greatest king, but he fell short. Come on, Samson, the strongest man, but he fell short. Jesus is the only one that was sinless. Oh, somebody don't believe me. Read 7:26, Sister Smith, Hebrews 7:26. Because somebody don't believe me. They think they preacher. They think they priest. They think they rabbi. They think they... No. Jesus was sinless. He the only one that walked this earth, tempted by the devil, within humanity and divinity, and never sinned. Read that 7:26.
Seven and 26, for such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens.
Oh, Lord. What a blessing. Boy, and look here, before you decide to turn around and go back to where you were with Judaism, I want to let you know they're not sinless. I want you to know they're not eternal. I want you to know they're not divinely appointed. I want you to know they're not sympathetic. I want you to know they're not divine as well as human. There's none that can compare. Jesus was sinless. Because he died for our sins on Calvary's Hill. It was the blood that made the difference. Something about that blood, and I got one more, but I got to. Well, let me hold it down because I'm like, look. So Smith, we dealt with human as well as divine, sympathetic priesthood, a divinely appointed priesthood, a eternal priesthood, a sinless priesthood, and here's our last one for the night. An exalted, E-X-A-L-T-E-D, priesthood. Read 8:1 for me, Sister Smith, 8:1.
Now in the things which are being said, the chief point is this: we have such a high priest who sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens.
Read 9:11 for us, Sister Smith, and then 10:21. 9:11, somebody don't believe me.
9:11 reads this way: but Christ, having come as a high priest of the good things that have come into being through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation.
10:21.
And having a great priest over the house of God.
Lord. Well, let me put it like this, and I'll let you elaborate a little further. I think it's another way that we could put this, because he had already warned them in the Old Testament. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto God. And where they made that mistake, now I got to include the gospel in this, Sister Smith. Just give me a minute, and I'm almost. He knew we needed a high priest. He knew that there was no high priest under the earth, on top of the earth, or in heaven that could redeem us back to God. And he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The Bible says he took on the form of a servant. And he condescended through 42 generations, born in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was tempted by the devil. He gave sight to the blind. He made the cripple throw away the crutches. He made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. He turned water into wine. He was known as living water. He fed 5,000 with a little boy lunch. His name is Jesus. He was lied on. He was abused. He was betrayed. I'm talking about our priest, y'all. He was unjustly accused and dragged before courtroom to courtroom. I'm trying to get too exalted. He was spit on. He was lied upon. And the Bible said our high priest that was human as well as divine, our high priest that was sympathetic to us, our high priest that was divinely appointed, our high priest that was eternal, our high priest that was sinless, he never said a mumbling word. Our high priest, when the ship went across the sea and the storm came up and Jesus was in the boat asleep, the disciples got nervous and they ran down there to him and asked him, say, do you care about us? And Jesus woke up and rocked the storm to sleep in the cradle of his arm. I'm talking about our high priest. And little did they know, they thought they were going to die, but guess what? They had Jesus on board. And Jesus didn't come to die in no storm. He didn't come to die in no crowd. Even though they wanted to kill him, even though they plotted on him, he came to die, but he came to die a certain way. They took him from courtroom to courtroom. You don't mind me explaining this, telling this story, do you, Mr. Smith? They took him from courtroom to courtroom. They lied on him. Instead of Barabbas, they took Christ. And man, let me tell you something. They made him march up Golgotha's hill, the place of the skull. I guess somebody out there, I know I got some Sunday school goers, and I know I got some Bible study. They led him to a hill called Calvary. And this is what let me know that darkness is not omniscient. He got some power, but he don't have... He don't know. He know a few things, but he don't know all things. This is what let me know that darkness is not all powerful, omnipotent. He has a little power with his little demons in there, but he don't have all power. And this is what let me know that he's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. He got some demons and imps, and he used some of us. We let him get in our lives. He need help for his. But Jesus, when they made their mistake at Sister Smith, they took our high priest. He gave his hands to the nails. He gave his feet to the spike. He gave his head to the crown of thorns. He gave it, I think. Nobody took it. Nobody could take our priest life because he was human as well as divine. But he gave it for you and for me. I got to stop right here. Somebody sitting out in the radio audience, man, Christ died for you. He took the punishment for you. Should have been your hands. Should have been your feet. Should have been your head with thorns or crown on it. But he died for our sins on Calvary's Hill. I got to tell a story now. And guess what? Watch this. Watch this. Because we said our priesthood is exhausted. This would let me know darkness didn't know what they were doing, because when they nailed him to the cross, the Bible says they lifted him up. I got to calm down. I don't want to get too excited because this is not Sunday morning where I'm preaching. They lifted him up. They stretched him wide. They dropped him low. That was a bad move on that part. What looked like a tragedy was really a blessing. But wait a minute. Here come the blessing. After all that they had done to him, he wanted water. They gave him vinegar. They laughed at him. They gambled with his clothes. They played with him. I wish somebody could go back to Calvary Hill and see how the Savior died for him. But here's where they made their mistake, Sister Smith. That centurion, he took that spear and plunged it in our Savior's side. The Bible says, out came blood and water. Blood for the remission of our sin. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, they got a song, say, I know it was the blood. It was the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. It's the blood that made the difference. It got water for the baptism. He died. He died, I tell you. He died on a hill called Calvary. And where darkness made the mistake, he lifted him up. And he warned them. They had already been warned. He said, if I be lifted up, I draw men. I wish it was somebody out there that was drawn to him that would wave their hands at me right now and say, he said, I'll draw men. I know he drew somebody. Now, he might not have drawn somebody, but he drawn me. And I'll have a witness. Knock on the radio. Say something. Look here. Wave your hand. Give somebody a high five. Say, he died for me, too. He drove me, too. And wait a minute, I'm so glad the story didn't end like that, Sister Smith. That wouldn't have been such a story. That wouldn't have been history. That wouldn't have been his story. That's not enough. He died on a hill called Calvary. You know, at one point from the sixth to the ninth hour, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you got to really study that, because many theologians say that's the first time the Father and the Son had been separated, because God had to turn his back because he don't look on sin. But he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken? And he did it for you and for me. He died. And I don't know about you, but I like to say his death affected three worlds at the same time. I got to cut this off, Sister Smith, because I'm getting carried away. Heaven got sad. Angels tiptoed. Hell had a party because the grave had held every man. Death had stung every man. They had a party in hell. Earth, Matthew say, reeled in rock like a drunk man. Graves opened up. Men smote at their breath. His death affected three worlds at the same time. They took the rock of ages that cared for me and you, that let me hide myself in thee. They took the rock, not the Peter rock. They took the rock, and they put him in a rock, and they closed it with a rock, and they put soldiers around the rock. But I got some good news for you. On the third day morning, our high priest was exalted. He got up. with all power. And none can compare. We have a high priest, as I close this out, and we'll pick up a little later. We have a high priest, Sister Smith, as I take my, that's human as well as divine. We have a high priest that's sympathetic to us. We have a high priest that's divinely appointed by the Father. We have a high priest that's eternal. We have a high priest that's sinless. And we have a high priest that was exalted to the right hand of the Father, and he maketh intercession for us right now today. Thank you so much, Sister Smith, and we look forward on next week just moving a little bit farther, because once the author finished telling them that, if you come back to that fifth verse, he said, I really want to explain some things to you, and we'll get on that next week. But he started dealing with the immaturity of the believer. These same folk won't turn around. The reason they won't turn around, because they hadn't been studying nothing. Look. Just right quick, a brief. Look at that, Sister Smith, that fifth chapter. Look at that, start at that 10th verse and read down.
5 and 10. Being addressed by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, concerning whom we have much to say that is also difficult to interpret, since you have become dull of hearing. For when, because of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you what the rudiments of the beginning of the oracles of God are and have become those who have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk is experienced in the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the full grown, who, because of practice, have their faculties exercised for discriminating between both good and evil.
Lord have mercy. He said, I really want to talk to you about some things, but you ain't studied. You want to turn around because you haven't been studying in your word to understand what you really have. You still on milk, you ought to be on meat. I ought to be able to discuss the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I ought to be able to discuss the doctrine of imputation. I want to discuss with you the doctrine of justification, but you on milk. You haven't studied. You don't know what you have. You won't let the Holy Spirit be the teacher, the learner, the lesson, the listener in your life. So I got to take you slow. And that slowness, that spiritual ignorance, that dullness, is just a opportunity to let darkness sneak in and make you doubtful. Thank you so much, Sister Smith. We'll take back up on that sixth chapter. There's a few more points, but what a high priest. And there's none that can compare. Thank you so much, Sister Smith.
Well, praise the Lord. I am so grateful to have walked through these verses or these chapters concerning the preeminence of his priesthood. And actually, you stretched across chapters 4 through chapter 8 concerning his priesthood. And I tell you, it was enough to feed on for the rest of the week, and that is what we want, is to eat of the meat of the word so that we can become mature believers who understand the heavenly priesthood of Jesus Christ and know how to come to the throne of grace for help.
And that makes us skillful in using God's truth in our own personal lives that we can teach others. And that's what we need to be asking ourselves. Do we qualify? And so I tell you, just knowing through this teaching series who the high priest is, we need to go back and revisit Series 1 and Series 2 and this series and familiarize ourselves with this richness of who is high priest in your life as we look at it from a personal perspective, Pastor Crow. We have got to make sure that we carry him high in our heart, that we can exemplify what he has taught us through the scriptures, how he lived his life, that we would be able to others concerning his life, his work, his ministry, and the doctrines that become good food for the soul so that we won't waver in our faith. And I think that's the beauty of the Bible, is that we can become mature Christians, mature believers, and get off milk or move from milk to solid food. And I like that. But you have really stretched across the chapters, Pastor Crow, concerning this lesson tonight, which was really rich. I was following you from the beginning to the end, and you took me all over, but I tell you, it looks like we might just have to move right into the better covenant, the promises, and better sacrifice, although you did talk about that. I tell you, if we had to end it, which I don't want us to, you really did a good job, as always, allowing the Holy Spirit to use you for the glory of God. And he gets the glory. And this is what we should want. This is what we should want as his children, to be available, ready, willing, and able, because Jesus showed us that as he was called, as he ministered, as he died, hung, bled, and on that third day he rose. And I tell you, it's just a beautiful, beautiful message. And learning who our high priest is. And if those of you who don't know him, get to know him. Seek the scriptures. Search the scriptures day and night, that you will become a mature believer in Christ Jesus, that you would grow and go in grace, that you would be ready, willing, and able for God to use you for such a time as this. So I just want to thank you again, Pastor Crow, for allowing yourself to be the vessel that God used tonight to bring us this rich word in Hebrews 101 series. And we will again be back on the following night of our next week, going through the remaining of our chapters in this awesome book, Hebrews. So we don't want to close out this program or end the program without offering and extending the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone who may not know him in the pardoning of their sins. He died for all of us to have eternal life. This is what he did. So we would like to pray a prayer of salvation before we leave this program tonight and give you an opportunity to extend your heart to him, and he would come in and reign on the throne of your heart and become your high priest. So let's pray, Pastor Crow, if you will.
Okay. all heads bowed, all eyes closed, all hearts lifted. Our Father in heaven, we just want to come right now and say thank you. We always want to thank you, first of all, for your word. Where would we be without your word? Then how could we make it without your Holy Spirit? And how could we be redeemed without his death? We want to say thank you. And we hurriedly admit, in our human flesh, we missed the mark. We've sinned and come short of your glory. Thank be to God for our intercessor, our high priest, that's sympathetic to us. We just want to say thank you. Now we pray right now that there might be someone out in our listening audience that don't have a high priest in their life. They don't know Jesus as prophet, priest, and king. Our prayer right now in the name of Jesus is that they come to know who he is. I pray that the Holy Spirit touch their hearts and there's a yearning. There's an impact on their lives. I pray that somebody in the listening radio audience land are like these Hebrew Jews. They heard the word. They received the word. And they believed the word. The Bible says, you shall be saved. If you're not saved today, you can communicate with him right now. You can ask him to save your soul right now. You can ask him to let your Holy Spirit sit on the throne of your life. You could ask him for forgiveness of your sin. You can repent. Say, I want to come to know who he is. I need a high priest in my life. You can come to know who he is. And you can accept him as your personal Savior. That's our prayer tonight. Somebody that don't know Jesus and the partner of the sin will come to know who you are. And then there are those that do know Jesus, but they fall so short. Our thought tonight is don't turn around. I know it's been difficult. I know it's been tough. But you got the best that God has to offer. Whatever you do, don't turn around. And I pray that right now that somebody will pray for forgiveness of their sin. I pray that you find your biblical church home. And I pray that you give your hand to the preacher, your heart to God, and your life to Christ. Thank you once again, Sister Smith, and this audience, and this what the Holy Spirit is doing through her. And it might not seem much, but in spiritual realm, one means a lot. I don't know how many people are listening. I don't know how many people heard. But one thing I do know, that if just one person hears the word, accepts Jesus as their personal Savior and is baptized, the Bible says angels in heaven rejoice. And guess what? It don't have to be 500. It don't have to be 5,000. It could be just one. And our prayer tonight is that maybe just one person that didn't have a high priest in their life will accept Jesus as their high priest. Thank you now. We pray for all men. We pray for this whole world. We pray your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this brings us to another program that closes on the note of beauty, fulfillment, rejoicing, salvation, priesthood, grace, I tell you, and the Almighty God, I am. He's worth receiving. He's worth cleaving to. He's worth making him your own. I just want to thank you again, Pastor Crow, and thank you for those who are listening tonight, who have listened tonight. Please go back. I encourage you to go back and listen to the past programs for your enjoyment, for your learning, for your teaching as well. And you can go back to the site www.blogtalkradio.com/heart2heart MFTH. And that's heart, the number two, heart, MFTH, which stands for Mission from the Heart. And send us an email and let us know your thoughts or a prayer request. There's a icon on the page there where you could communicate with us and send a personal note to Pastor Crow or myself, Carnita Smith, and just let us know how you're doing, you became saved, or if you just need a prayer request. We encourage you to communicate with us, that we will continue to pray with you and for you. Thank you again for your faithfulness to God and faithfulness to this program. Always remember, the grass wither, the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God remains forever. God bless you, and good night.
Good night.